Conservative MPs have been warned not to rebel against the government over Brexit as MPs plan legislation to stop no deal. Lord Kunzberg, the BBC's political editor, was reporting last night that Boris Johnson will chuck MPs out of the party if they don't vote for him. So is that a dictatorship we're in now, or is that a strong prime minister doing what he needs to get Brexit through? The SDLP MLA, Claire Hanna, is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, it's ironic. It's another mantra of leave that's trashed. We were told we didn't like unelected bureaucrats interfering in our laws, and that's what Dominic Cummings is, who has issued this edict. People who railed about part of the parliament are now standing over it being shut down at such a critical time, and now the same MPs are having their strings pulled by someone who doesn't have a vote to his name and who has, it has to be said, time and again showed his contempt for parliamentary democracy. Remember, he wouldn't give honest answers to the parliamentary committee that was trying to get into where the money for the Leave campaign came from. This is the kind of guy who will push in front of you in a queue and just expect to be pushed around, and he is clearly trying to remove anybody who will stand up to him. And we saw what happens here with SPAD culture when you have people who have lots of power but no responsibility to people, and it's not good for democracy. I don't believe that MPs are supposed to just be remote controlled devices. They're there to use their judgment. It's been a very toxic parliament. We've heard of people having to cancel operations and so on to get into votes because the pairing system had broken down. And I think we need people who have the courage of their convictions and who, of course, have a fresher mandate than.
But you also need discipline within a party, Claire.
Of course you require, and I believe strongly in collective action with people of a similar worldview, but I don't believe in all power to an executive, because if you're stripping this out, and again, the same people in Leave who talked about, you know, democracy are attacking, key institutions and checks and balances like the judiciary, like MPs, like media, but you require people to exercise their judgment. Otherwise, you would just elect one, I suppose, emperor, and they would make all the decisions if you don't allow people.
But the people exercise their judgment in a referendum.
And
what Boris Johnson is saying is he will do everything and anything possible to adhere to the instructions from the electorate. Is that not a good thing?
And subsequent to that referendum, of course, as I've said before, that referendum gave the UK government a mandate to negotiate Brexit. They haven't done a great job of that. And now the democratically elected representatives of people. And by the way, you know, it's for individuals to decide who represents them. But my interest is the people who live here, and their interests are being trashed by this. But remember that these MPs that he's trying to silence have a fresher mandate than the 2016 referendum. And as for the Conservatives, I believe they stood on a mandate that said we would Brexit in an orderly fashion. And that's not what is on the table now. And that is what some of those MPs are presumably trying to achieve and are being stopped from doing so. So if you're saying then that MPs, you know, we take these fixed point in times and people like Dominic Cummings get to enforce them, what does the election, does the will of the people as expressed in the election in 2017 mean nothing?
I see that Reuters is reporting, they're actually attributing this to BuzzFeed Media, that the bill that the MPs, the rebel MPs, will be trying to get through the Commons this week would require Boris Johnson to seek an extension from the EU if he has not agreed a new deal with Brussels by a certain date in October. The commentator Andre Walker joining us now. Morning to you, Andre.
Hello. Great call a moment ago, by the way.
Thank you. for MPs who get into politics to vote on their conscience, to vote on what they think is good or bad for a country, to be now threatened with being chucked out of a party if they don't go against what their judgment is, but instead just follow like sheep behind their leader. Where are we? North Korea?
Well, can I just say one thing that I think is important to clarify? We always get told by people that voted Remain that Leavers didn't understand what they were voting for. But one of the things that we definitely voted for, of course, was to take back control from Brussels and hand it to Parliament. Well, that's not true. What we wanted to do was become an independent country. And the take back control thing was about becoming an independent country. It wasn't about handing powers to Parliament to simply overrule the referendum result. Now, our parliamentarians may vote whatever way they vote. And remember, Tucker and Muna has been doing the news today saying that the purpose of this bill this week is to prevent Brexit altogether and to go against the referendum results. Now, MPs may vote whichever way they will. However, you cannot remain a member of the Conservative Party if you wish to overrule the democratic will of the people and potentially put Jeremy Corbyn, a communist, into number 10 Downing Street.
Is Boris Johnson not now defining hypocrisy? That
no.
here you have someone who defied the Prime Minister just weeks ago, Theresa May, and now that he's become Prime Minister, he's threatening to chuck people out of the party if MPs defy him. So it was all right for him to do it just weeks ago, but now it's not all right for anybody else to do it. Is that not the definition of hypocrisy?
No. Remember, what you're talking about with Boris Johnson was deciding whether or not you supported a particular Brexit deal. This bill this week is about repealing, effectively, leaving the European Union. What it does is it cancels the withdrawal bill and the Article 50 Act, and instead says that we've got to put off leaving the European Union potentially indefinitely. There is a huge difference between taking a view on a piece of on how to leave the EU and cancelling leaving the EU altogether. Those are two entirely different propositions.
Claire?
But the point is, and there are a plethora of different views, because many of the people who don't want to lock, stock and barrel do whatever Dominic Cummings tells them to do, even if it's against the interests of their constituents to whom they are accountable. And some of them want to have a deal. Yes, some of them want to remain, which is entirely allowable. I presume your commentator there wants to see a no-deal Brexit, and he's entitled to have that view. But what they're now saying is that the only acceptable view is to support a no-deal Brexit, because that's all we're leaving ourselves space.
If you don't open
up the parliamentary tank.
One second, Andre. No. But what's wrong with Boris Johnson trying to exert discipline in his party and threatening to suspend these MPs if they don't follow his line?
But the thing is that, one, you're massively moving the goalposts in terms of, I understand, and I'm not an expert on the Conservative Party, but there's membership accountability, and this is saying that they will overrule members on the ground, and they're the people who pay, I don't know, whatever, they're 20 quid a year and who deliver the leaflets.
But my question, Claire, is what's wrong with a leader exerting his authority?
There's nothing wrong with a leader exerting their authority, but this is saying that no dissent will be tolerated and you will be deleted if you express any judgment.
Personally,
I think that's wrong, and I don't think it's in line with the concept of a representative democracy that most liberal democracies understand. So he's entitled to do that. But you mentioned North Korea, and it is that type of behaviour. If you will not allow MPs to have their own judgment, why do you have parliament? Just follow your logic. If MPs are not allowed to exercise judgment based on their contacts throughout the year with the constituents that they represent, what's the point in having a parliament? Why don't we just have...
Hold on, Andre.
Question. What are MPs there for?
So you're likening this to North Korea, Claire, are you?
No, sorry, Stephen. You likened it to...
Well, what are you likening it to? You're saying it's not the sign of a healthy democracy, are you?
I don't think it's a sign of a healthy democracy. I don't think it's a representative democracy if you're saying that MPs are not allowed.
I'm asking you
that if we have if MPs are not allowed to exercise judgment, if they can only exercise the judgment of an unelected spin doctor, then what is the point of having parliament? Why don't countries just elect one emperor or something that rules it without representative democracy?
So was Colm Eastwood, your leader, an emperor when he defended your party's decision to suspend three members after they failed to support a motion calling for women not to be intimidated by anti-abortion campaigners?
But the point is, and it's not an emperor.
And he warned other party members that they too could face suspension if they strayed outside party policy.
And I didn't. I don't have chapter and verse in that. I wasn't involved in the process. But bear in mind, people aren't. I understand that those councillors contacted from direction on how to vote. They didn't demur from that. And I think I understand the policy is you can exercise your conscience if you're prepared to articulate why you voted as you did. And my understanding is that because they didn't speak in the meeting and then cast their vote, they weren't.
They were suspended for not voting with Colm Eastwood's line.
Well, my understanding is
that's why they were suspended
for an investigation into it, and then they left. And as I say, I wasn't party to that. It's above my pay grade, so I can't speak on chapter and verse of what happened. But it is about, you know, there was a process to go through there. They weren't deselected. It didn't say you can't, you know, you can't restand
as a
councillor. So like I say, and I thought you would probably bring up, I have on one or two occasions diverged from a party line myself, because I do believe that the electorate put their faith in you to exercise your judgment and what is
right for
the people of the constituency.
Yeah, what we're listening to here is a fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on. Look, first of all, you are not being removed from Parliament for voting against Boris Johnson.
You've been kicked out of the party.
You are not being,
you're being deselected.
Well, hang on. Let me answer this. You're not being prevented from running. The Conservative Party is an organisation that has to work together. If you do not wish to vote with the Conservative Party, you do not have to be a member of the Conservative Party. But if what you're going to do is not act in the interests of Conservative Party policy, not support a Conservative government, there is no point in you being there. Now, you gave the example of the SDLP. Look, if you want to vote against the SDLP, you are welcome to continue as a councillor or an assembly member, but you can't continue as an SDLP councillor or assembly member.
When Boris Johnson voted three times against his party on the Brexit deal that was on the table, why was he not deselected then?
Because it wasn't a requirement on that occasion. The Conservative Party will enforce the whip or not enforce the whip.
It's the principle, isn't it? It's the principle.
A brand new rule that wasn't in place whenever those people put themselves before the electorate in a way that has never done.
Look, different circumstances require different things. Sometimes there is a free vote. Sometimes there's
okay.
a whipped vote.
All right.
There's a difference between a whipped vote and you take the consequences of that whipped vote and saying that you will
not
be deleted and removed.
Okay, Claire, thank you. Andrew, thank you. We've loads of calls on this morning, 0303 80 55 55. Before we go to your calls, Dr. Tom Black is waiting for us, the BMA Northern Ireland Council Chair. Morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Your union has issued an alert over the devastating, that's your words, not mine, dangers of leaving the EU. What is this?
Yes, the BMA, centrally a four-country organisation centred in London, has brought out a Brexit document expressing our concerns across a number of issues. The issues are across workforce, with 22,000 of the doctors in the United Kingdom are from EEA countries. And we're concerned about their ability to stay on in the country. We're concerned about reciprocal health arrangements, about medicine supplies. One of the big things we're concerned about is the EURATOM, which is obviously a European organisation that looks after the supply of radioisotopes. And these are used for imaging for, let's say, cancer patients or that, and they're also used for pathology labs and for the treatment of cancer. And there is great concern within medicine, within the profession, that we will have problems with the supply of these radioisotopes. United Kingdom, again, just like insulin that we discussed last week, Stephen, the United Kingdom doesn't have a domestic supply, and we rely on Europe for the radioisotopes, and we're very concerned that there will be interruptions in supply.
But have you not got any assurance from the Department of Health?
Yes, we've had an assurance from government to say that they have been proactive in mapping supply chains. And despite that, the Royal College of Radiologists and British Nuclear Medicine UK Radio Pharmacy Group have written a joint letter to the Prime Minister saying that thank you for the reassurance, but we're very worried about this. And it's a bit like I see in the media today, the retail associations describing problems with supply of fresh fruit. This, for us, is fresh fruit. This is radioisotopes. They have a very short half-life. They don't sit around and wait for you. They have to be fresh when they're brought or they're out of date. And if all of your supply is coming from Europe and we're going to have issues with the supply chain, then I think that's a big problem for us. And what that would mean in real terms is delays in getting your scans done, delays in getting radiotherapy done, that sort of thing.
So you would not want to be alarming patients unnecessarily in Northern Ireland, Tom.
No, and that's
so how concerned should they be?
That's our job, not to alarm patients, and it's also our job to identify problems before they happen. We've had two shortages in the last decade or so, in 2009 and 2013, despite the fact we were part of the club in Europe. we're no longer part of the club. We've left the EMA. The EMA has gone to, I think it was Amsterdam, and we're having to put in place our own UK structures to replace the European structures that we had before. And it's like everything in life now. It's a very complicated supply chain. And when we're at the end of the supply chain, you worry that if you're leaving the club, you might be at the end of the supply chain.
What would repercussions be, finally, for patients?
If we run short of radioisotopes, it would be delays. Now, obviously...
And what would that mean?
That would mean that your scan would be delayed. You would hope that it wouldn't delay any patient requiring...
And this treatment. Is scans for what?
It would be scans to assess tumours.
So this could delay people getting treatment for cancer?
The Royal College of Radiologists, who understand this better than the BMA, better than anyone, have been so concerned that they have written to the Prime Minister and said this is their big worry. When I talk to my hospital colleagues and say, what do you make of Brexit? They say our number one issue, our number one concern is radioisotopes.
Okay. Well, Tom, thank you for coming on this morning. And clearly we will need to give the Department of Health here in Northern Ireland time to get back to us about what you've expressed this morning. And we'll try to bring your response on tomorrow's programme.